And we've looked at things and we want to try to appear to look through life in these two lenses, the lenses of grace and mercy. Grace is receiving what we do not deserve. Is that God extends his grace to us even though we do have not earned it in any way. And also to see life through the lens of mercy, of not getting what we do deserve. Because all of us are sinners, all of us fall short of God's glory, that we deserve condemnation and death. And because we don't receive that, we can look through life through the lenses of grace and mercy. And so we've learned a few things. When we see as God sees, then we'll worship God. And we see God as he sees himself, then we will worship him as he is, and that will clear out the fog in our lives. The second thing is also that when we see as lost people, as God sees lost people, then lost people will matter to us, and then we'll reach out to them. And so what I want us to do is think about how we look through the lens of the lenses, these dual lenses of grace and mercy when it comes to people in general, and particularly in the area of need. See, that when we see people as God sees people, then we will see their need and the kingdom opportunity. We will see their need and kingdom opportunity. Too often, we look through the lenses of God's grace. Do not look through the lenses of God's grace and mercy. You know what? I think I gave you the wrong set of slides, evidently, or the wrong sets loaded in there. So that's last week. So it should be on the stick if it's anywhere. So when we look through the lenses of our own agenda, that's our tendency. We have a tendency to look through the lenses of what we desire and what we want. You know, when I see that in myself, when I see people as either problems to be avoided or possibilities to be exploited, there's a dark side that I see in myself. There's a darkness that, and I don't know about you, if you've ever recognized that within yourself, is that you know what, this person, well, how will they advance my agenda? How will they help out my thing? Or how will they be a thwart to what I want to accomplish? And so in Matthew chapter 9, we get a picture of how God sees people. As a matter of fact, it says when Jesus saw the crowd, when he sees the people. And so I want us to look at what happens in chapter 9. Chapter 9, these verses, verse 35 through 38, are a transitional set of verses. Basically, from chapter 4 up to the end of chapter 9 is basically Jesus going about doing the ministry. And it's summarized in verse 35. And then when you go over after chapter 9, there's a continuation of that ministry and how it looks different. Let's look how the summary goes. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, it says, when Jesus went through all the towns and villages, what did he do? He went teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom of God, and healing every sickness and disease. That's what he did. The threefold ministry of teaching, of preaching, and of healing. This is what Jesus did. And he went about there, and you can look through those passages in chapters 5 through chapter 9, and you'll see Jesus doing just that. Chapter 5 through 7, Jesus gives his great sermon on the mountain. He does some teaching there. We see him cleansing the lepers, healing the centurion's servant, teaches what it means to follow him. He calms the sword, delivers the demons possessed, heals the paralytic, teaches about the kingdom of God, raises a dead girl, heals a blind, the mute, and a sick woman. And Jesus has been doing this basically all by himself. Jesus has been doing this for this season of time. And then in verse 36, let's read. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And it says here that Jesus had compassion. His heart went out. The idea is that his bowels went towards them. See, when we think of our heart, that's where we think of the center of feeling. Whenever a Hebrew thought of their feelings, the seat of their feelings was their gut. Okay, that was where they felt compassion. They, out of the very guts, they felt compassion. That's what Jesus said. He felt compassion towards them. And it says that they were harassed and helpless. I love the way that the New Living Translation translates this. It says, he felt great pity for the crowds that came because their problems were so great and they did not know where to go for help. They were sheep without a shepherd. They had problems that were so great. They were harassed. They were harassed and they were helpless. They didn't even know where to get some help at. When we do not look through the lenses of grace or mercy, how do we see the crowds? How do we view them? Do we see them as people in our way, as obstacles? Do we see people who deserve what they got? Is that what we see? You know, whenever we look out in the crowds and you see the need, you say, well, they got it because they deserved it. That's what they deserve. And the reason that person's poor is they don't know how to handle money. They just need to go out and get a job. That person's that way because they've messed up. You know what that does to us? Exempts us from responsibility, doesn't it? Exempts us from engagement. Exempts us from involvement. Or do we see people that we can exploit for our own purposes? When we look at people through the eyes of selfishness and pride, of self-centeredness, we either can see them as problems to be avoided or possibilities to be exploited. This word harass means that they had problems that were too big to solve. The root word of harass means they've been skinned or disarmed. And what they meant by disarmed, they mean disarmed. Okay? That's the root word of this. They were disarmed. They were skinned alive. They had no way of helping themselves. And then they were helpless. They were disposable people as far as the world is concerned. Let's just dispose of them. And Jesus sees these people that have a problem because they are sheep without a shepherd. And when he's doing this, he's talking about spiritually primarily. He's talking about that there are people who are harassed and helpless in a spiritual sense as well as a physical sense. They just don't have any help or any hope. In Zechariah chapter 10, verse 2, it says this about their situation during Zechariah's time. The idols speak deceit. Diviners sees visions that lie. They tell dreams that are false. They give comfort in vain. Therefore, the people wander like sheep oppressed for the lack of a shepherd. See, they were living in a time in which there was plenty of religious options out there. There were diviners and visions. There were dreams. There was all kinds of things. Do we live in a time that there's plenty of religious, spiritual options? I mean, Oprah will give you whatever you want. You know, find your spirit. I mean, there's all kinds of options. There's the Scientology made up for us in 1960s and 1950s, you know, a spiritual option. Kabbalah, the material girl could become spiritual girl through Kabbalah, right? A spiritual option. There are options in Islam. There's options there. There's options all over the place for a person to go. And yet, when we look out, they are sheep without a shepherd. They're bothered by wolves, lying down, unable to help themselves, with no shepherd to guide or protect. See, people in our world have many voices calling, many voices that won't give them the direction, but give them this pseudo comfort in vain, these dreams that are false, visions that are lies. See, Paul, Jesus here illustrates the two thing about people. He says, first of all, they're sheep without shepherd, but there's a ripened harvest. And there's these two things, and that's what we're going to look at now. Let's look at verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. There's plenty out there to harvest. The harvest is ripe. And see, when Jesus says, he points out this truth that there is this great need, and there's a great need out there. They are helpless and they are harassed, and that's the situation, but it's a great opportunity so that when we see people, as God sees people, we'll see their need and the kingdom opportunity. We'll see their need and the kingdom opportunity. And that's what Jesus does. He sees there's a kingdom opportunity here. Now, when a harvest is mentioned in the Bible, typically it's talking about the gathering of the harvest at the end of times. That's what it's typically talking about. It talks about the angels coming and gathering with their sickle in hand and bringing judgment upon the earth. Ooh, bringing the harvest in. Ugh. And so what kind of workers is he looking for here? For you and I to become angels of judgment? Of, let's get out there, is that what he's talking about? No. Our work here is to be rescuers from judgment. We have a time period now. Between now and the coming of the Lord, Jesus Christ, when he comes back in all of his glory, to be harvesters for him. To be those who are rescuing people from the coming judgment. Isn't that a responsibility? But that's what he's talking about here. That's what he's talking about. And so then Jesus gives a solution in verse 38. And that, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send workers into his harvest field. So what's the solution? To ask the Lord of the harvest. Now, who's the Lord of the harvest? Who is he talking about? We're just going to go down a few verses. Chapter 10, this is the end of chapter 9. Then he goes down. He begins to talk about the disciples, and then notice what he does in verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. So they're to pray, they're to see this need, they're to care about this need, they're to pray about this need, and guess where the answer is found? In the disciples, and Jesus sends them out. And what does he tell them to do? He tells them to go out, preach the gospel, right? Preach the kingdom of heaven is near, and then also heal and deliver. And then he says this thing, freely you have received, freely give. That's through the eyes of grace and mercy, isn't it? That's through the eyes of giving out what others do not deserve, not giving them what they do deserve. It's through the eyes of grace and mercy. So that when we see the need, as God sees the need, what will we do? We will care. We will pray. And we'll serve. When we see the need as God sees the need, we'll see the great need that's there. We'll see their needs, but we'll also see kingdom opportunity. And so we'll care. Just as Jesus had the crowd, saw the crowds, what did he do? He cared. He cared about it. He decided to have compassion upon them. The next thing he asked them to do is he told them, pray. Pray specifically. Pray for workers for the harvest field. That's one of the things we ought to pray for. Workers for the harvest field. And then third, serve. Now there are three harvest fields that I want to talk to you about this morning very quickly. There are three places of service. And I believe that in order for us to develop ourselves spiritually, we need to serve in some way, in some capacity in each of these. The first is your church. There are plenty of opportunities within our congregation to serve Christ's kingdom and to expand Christ's kingdom, and there are plenty of needs in which we can serve. And so out there we have this ministry expo, and there's a plenty of opportunities for you to say, I want to take a first serve opportunity to serve within this congregation. But that's not the only place. The second place to serve is your neighborhood. Your neighborhood. Now, your neighborhood may be your place of work because that's where you spend most of your time. Your neighborhood may be your literal neighborhood. I don't know where your neighborhood is, but everybody needs to serve in your neighborhood. Won't you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? I mean, that kind of thing. And there's lots of things that you can think of doing in your neighborhood. One of the things that you can help a single mom who lives down the street with small repairs, or maybe just taking the kids for a day, giving her some, just mom time. Way of serving in your neighborhood. Another way you can serve is just open up your home for hospitality, put a fire pit out front, and see what God does. Just light a lamp. Put a fire pit out front, light it on a Friday afternoon, maybe not this Friday afternoon because if it's going to be cold like tonight, but when the springtime comes, why not do that? And practice hospitality. Open up your home. And the last is your world. That our vision cannot be just simply right here, but expanding it out to the world, and then crossing over cultural lines, such as one of the opportunities of service is to serve with the free clinic in Joliet. Some of our people do that. Some people are our people translate from English to Spanish for the medical workers there and helps them out and gets information for them. They do that, okay? Now, I don't know Spanish. I wouldn't be much help for that part of it. There's others who go down to the free clinic and package up medicines, and those are delivered to Fame, in which these medicines, our congregation supplies over $1 million a year. You didn't realize $1 million a year in medical pharmaceuticals to Fame, which is Fellowship of Associates of Medical Evangelism. $1 million worth of pharmaceuticals a year to that organization that goes all throughout the world. You can help that. You can take a short-term missions trip. And I pray, and my hope is that in 2008, we'll have another short-term mission trip. A way for us to look out into the world. Go down to the Morningstar Mission. Again, looking in the world. The world close by, the world far away. See, those are three places in which I believe that all of us need to serve. Now why am I saying that? Because part of becoming like Christ is through service. Now, why don't we serve? No, I mean, let's just get right down to it. Why don't we serve? Why don't some of you serve? I know some of you do, some of you don't. Some of you have decided, my life is not about serving anyone except me and mine. It's about my family, and it's about me. Why don't we do that? Why don't we serve anything outside of ourselves? There's no nice way of saying this. There is absolutely no nice way of saying this. I tried to come up with a nice way of saying it. There isn't any way to say this nicely. But here it is. We're selfish. We are self-centered. We are self-centered pigs. There's no other way of saying it. I wish I could say it. I wish I could make it nice and smooth. But basically, we're self-centered. It's me and mine. That's it. Us four, no more. We're just selfish. We're selfish with our time. We're selfish with our money. We're selfish with our energy. We're basically selfish. Let's go home. There's no hope. There is hope. Thank you. Jesus Christ is our hope. See, Jesus Christ is the one who is the really good shepherd and also the really good servant. And he's the one who makes a way for you and I to break the bonds of selfishness. The reason we don't serve is because we're selfish. And the cure for selfishness, know what it is? Is joining Jesus in service. That's what it is. The way for you to be less selfish is for you to look outside of yourself, to care, to pray, and to serve. Now, I want to just back up the truck. Just one little hair, okay? Because some of us serve for all the wrong reasons. We serve for ourselves. Look how good I am. I'll be light. I'll be valuable if I serve. And see, we need to repent not only for those of who refuse to serve, but for those of us who serve for the wrong reason. Or we serve because we're going to pay off God somehow. So that we can say, God, you owe me. Jesus is the solution for both these. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through verse 11, we're going to look through verse 8 here. It says, your attitude should be the same of that of Christ Jesus, who in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. That word is he emptied himself. He emptied himself, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of a man. Being found in the appearance of a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Let you and I attach ourselves to him. Let us attach ourselves to this one who humbled himself, emptied himself to serve you and to serve me. And let that be our motivation. Let that be our motivation. The reason why we do it is because God did it first through us, for us, for Jesus Christ. Let the reason that we were able to get out of our own little self-centered, self-absorbed, self-world and attach ourselves to this one called Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, Christ will begin to break the bonds of selfishness in your heart and in my heart. So this morning I want to encourage you, just a couple practical things. One, go out there and look at those options. Where you can find a first serve, just try something if you've never done it before. Others of you, you've been serving a while, you're just not sure exactly where to serve, what to do. We're going to have a class. It's called Life Shape. It used to be called Class 301. If you've not taken Class 301 or Life Shape class, that offering is there for February the 11th. You can sign up at the Welcome Center. There's a place for you to sign up for that. It'll be held at 10:30 in the morning. And it goes a little long, so we even have lunch for you. And do that. When we see the need as God sees the need, we'll see their need and the kingdom's opportunity. And when we see people as God sees people, guess what? We'll care, we'll pray, and we'll serve. Father God, I thank you for the blessing of this day. I pray, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit to come and to follow. Just lead us, Lord. Lead us, Holy Spirit, in the place of your service. Lord God, break the bondage of selfishness and self-centeredness in our lives. And Lord God, we pray for workers for the harvest field. Lord God, we pray that you will do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or imagine through us. By your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.